chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 today. We're studying through the book of Matthew together. We've come to Matthew chapter 17. I want you to find your place there. And I'm going to have you turn to one of the parallel passages to it, Mark chapter 9. So keep your finger in Matthew chapter 17, Mark chapter 9. I'll go ahead and give you the text here, Matthew chapter 17, verses 9 through 23. If you're keeping notes throughout this series, the parallel passages are Mark chapter 9, verses 9 to 32, and then Luke chapter 9, verses 37 to 45. I want you to flip to Matthew chapter 17 and also Mark chapter 9, because that's where we're going to spend most of our time today in those two passages. Same story, different human penmen, both under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Look at Matthew chapter 17, and we'll read there, starting and beginning with verse number 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now in the account in Luke, don't turn to it, but in the account in Luke, the Bible used the phrase, when they were come down from the hill. And this morning I preached to you on the topic, when they were come down. When they were come down. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Speak to us, challenge us, convict us, and change us. Forgive our sins. Help us to be clean. In Jesus' name, amen. The closing part of chapter 16, we're studying through this book together. We saw the Lord bringing out great lessons on true discipleship. Then in the opening section of chapter 17, we saw him take Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain apart. It was there that the Lord Jesus was transfigured before them, and they saw a glimpse of his mighty glory. What a glory day for these disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now today we come to the next section in our study, in which it is now time for these three disciples, along with Jesus, who have just been up on the Mountain of Transfiguration, to come down from that mountain. And as they come down from the mountain, the other disciples had a multitude about them, and the parallel accounts tell us that the scribes were questioning his other disciples that were not up on the mountain with him. The Lord asked the scribes what they were talking about, what they were questioning about, and at this time a man comes to the Lord with a major need in his life. Now somebody has said that they went from the mountain of glory to the valley of need. Now, it's in this valley of need when they were come down that I want to draw our attention to in this service. Because when they were come down and they're now at the base of the mountain, in the valley, if you will, I see five things in that valley. And these five things are throughout these parallel accounts. And I want you to ask God to speak to your heart. Friends, when you listen to God's word, God is speaking. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about his word. When his word is being preached, the voice of God is speaking. And he speaks to change our life. He speaks to change us to convert lost people, to convict us, to challenge us. In other words, don't be guilty of coming to church just to sit and hear a sermon. Be guilty of coming to church and allowing God to speak to your heart because he wants to speak to you today. And that being the case, five things I see in this text. Number one, I see a pitiful condition. A pitiful condition. Look at verse number 14 of our text, Matthew. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Now, Matthew, along with the other accounts, bring out the fact that the man who came to Jesus was a daddy who had a son that was demon-possessed. Now, this man came, and in our text here, we see he kneels down before the Lord, and he begins to beg God to have mercy on his son. He says, because he's lunatic, and he's sore vexed. Now, Mark tells us, don't turn there yet, because I'm going to turn there in one of the major points. But in Mark's account, if you read that, Mark tells us that this father brought out that his boy had a dumb and a deaf spirit. That means that his boy could not speak and his boy could not hear. This is the demon possession. He told the Lord that everywhere the spirit took him, that he would tear him, he would rip him, he would cut him, which means that he would lacerate or cause him to go into convulsions and spasms. He went on to say how his son foamed. In other words, there would be foam coming out of his mouth like a wild animal. He would begin to gnash his teeth, and the Bible says in the book of Mark that he was withering away. He was pining away. Along with this, we see the Father telling the Lord that the devil often cast his boy into the fire and often cast his boy into the water. The book of Mark says, to destroy him. That word destroy means to kill him. Luke tells us that this father and this boy was this father's only child. In other words, when you get all the pictures, you start seeing the picture you see. You just read Matthew, you only get part of it, but you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you see that the devil was trying to kill this boy, and he was the only child that this daddy had. I'm telling you, the daddy went on to say that the devil did not want to depart from his kid. May I say this? What a pitiful condition. What a pitiful condition that this boy is in. And oh, as a father, how this must have been ripping his daddy's heart out of his chest. He was completely helpless watching the devil tear his boy apart limb by limb, tormenting his child and trying to kill him often. The fact of the matter is this boy was dying and he needed a miracle. The father even said, and I've already brought this out, but just imagine that they had to watch him 24 hours a day. Because the demon possession, when he'd get close to a fire, he'd just jump in the fire. When he'd get close to the water, he'd just jump in the water trying to kill himself because the devil was out to destroy him. Let me say this here. This is an accurate picture of the devil. It's an accurate picture of him. He's not out to help you. And he's not out to help your children either. He's out to destroy you and to destroy your kids. He is a destroyer. And he wants to wreak havoc and torment in your life. Number one, I see a pitiful condition. But number two, I see a pressing charge. You say, what are you talking about? Look at verse number 16, Matthew. And the father said, and I brought him to thy disciples. Notice this. And they could not cure him. What an indictment. What a charge. It goes on to say, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Here's what I'm saying to you. This story goes on to bring out a pressing charge against the Lord's disciples. See, while the Lord was up on the mountain being transfigured before the other three disciples, this dear father brought this helpless boy to his other disciples and begged them to cast this devil out. But the pressing charge was this: they could not. They could not. What an indictment against these men. Do you see this man coming with hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, he was coming to the Lord's disciples. As a matter of fact, he even says in these accounts, I brought my boy to you. I brought him to you, Jesus. Because, see, the Lord's disciples were representing him at this time. You see what I'm saying? You get that? He said, I brought him to you. This man had hope in the Lord when he comes to his disciples asking for their help. But they couldn't do anything for him. When the Lord heard this, he added his charge.
The man added a charge and said, I brought them to your disciples. They couldn't do it. The Lord adds to that charge and says, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? In other words, these disciples of the Lord Jesus were completely powerless against this unclean spirit. This man came desiring their help, but they sent him away empty. The cause is brought out by our Lord by calling them faithless. Let me ask you a question. Did the disciples try to cast the demon out? Yes. Let me tell you what that means. They had faith. So why did Jesus call them faithless? If they didn't think they could do it, why'd they try? They had faith. Why did he call them faithless? Let me tell you why. Because their faith was in the wrong place. They had faith, but not in the Lord. Stay with me here. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit because this message builds on itself. I'm telling you that they were putting their faith in something or someone else other than the Lord Jesus. And because of this, they were not able to cast the devil out. It's sad to see them disputing with the scribes. When the Lord comes down off the mountain, the disciples over here and the scribes are surrounding them, just questioning them, disputing among them. It's sad to see these disciples of the Lord disputing with the scribes while this boy is suffering from the torment of the devil. Wiersbe said this, while the disciples were defending themselves and the scribes were accusing them, the devil was all but killing this helpless boy. What a charge. What an indictment. As a side note, could this be the reason that the Father, you're in Mark right there, look at it, look at it here. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 22. Could this be the reason that the Father had seeming doubt in the Lord? In other words, now the Lord's dealing with him, but notice what the Father said in verse 22, Mark chapter 9 and verse number 22. And oft times, this is the Father speaking to the Lord, it had cast him into the fire and in the water to destroy him. Notice this. But if thou canst do anything, doubt. Lord, if you can do anything, he's doubting God. He didn't say, take care of it. He said, if you can, would you do this? Could it be that this father's faith was shaken in the Lord because the Lord's disciples were powerless? Could it be? I'm telling you that these disciples' lack of power reflected on the Lord, reflected on his ability. Let me ask you a question this morning. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Is it in the Lord or is it in yourself? Wiersbe said, what must our Lord feel as he looks at powerless believers today? When it comes to the needs of this world, determine you will not have this same pressing charge to your account. They could not. In other words, somebody comes to you with a need. They need to be saved. They need this. They need that. If your confidence and faith is in yourself, your know-how, your strength, your power, your might, they will leave you just like they left them and say, they could not help me. Pressing charge. Number one, pitiful condition. Number two, pressing charge. Number three, you're in Mark chapter 9. Let's notice a parent's cry. A parent's cry. Look at verse number 20 of Mark chapter 9. This is the parallel account here. Hold your finger in Matthew now. Mark chapter 9, verse 20. Look at it. And they brought him unto him. This is the Lord. And when he saw him, the boy saw him, the spirit threw him, saw him. Straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this child, since this came unto him? And he said of a child. Now notice this. The Lord comes down off the mountain. When he comes down, sometime at the same time that he's up on the mountain being transfigured before Peter, James, and John, this father brings his demon-possessed boy, pitiful condition, trying to kill him, trying to drown him, trying to burn him to death, send him in convulsions. He can't hear. He can't speak. It's a pitiful. And he comes to the disciples, and they cannot do anything. The Lord comes down off the mountain. He sees the crowd and he says, what are you talking about? He already knew what they was talking about, friends. Don't you love how the Lord would do that? What are you all talking about over there? He's all-knowing. He already knew what they're talking about. And they come to him, and the man comes to him. He says, bring him to me. That's the answer to all of life's trouble. Bring him to me. And they say that when, right here, when the boy was coming, they were bringing the boy, and he looked up and saw Jesus. The Spirit tore him and threw him down, and he began to wallow and foaming out of his mouth. Instead of the Lord saying, get out of him, the Lord turned to the dad and said, how long has it been like this? The Lord's starting to deal with this man's faith. And the man said, since a child, that word child means infant. Since he was an infant. Now listen to this. Look at verse number 24. Wait a minute, verse 23. What did the man say in verse number 22? He said, if thou canst do anything. Notice what the Lord said in verse number 23. If thou canst believe. Do you see what he did? If you can do anything. The Lord says, if you can believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Straightway the father child, notice it. Here's where it gets the parents' cry. Cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that same prayer. In my own prayer life, I cannot tell you how many times I've prayed that prayer, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. In Matthew's account, we see the father knelt before the Lord and asked for his help. Mark tells us that when they brought the child to him, the evil spirit tore him, fell on the ground, and he began to wallow and foam out of his mouth. He proceeded to tell the Lord how the Spirit was trying often in Mark chapter 9. He went on to say, he tries often to destroy my boy. He said, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, verse 22, have compassion on us and help us. What a cry, friends. Lord, if you can do anything, love us. And help me. Help my boy. This the Lord turned it into a matter of teaching and fanning this man's faith. He said, if you can only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Oh, there's a glimmer of hope, you see. Here's this man, he doesn't have strong faith. His faith has been broken a little bit, has been weakened a little bit because his disciples were powerless. And his disciples were an example of who he is. So when he brought his boy to the disciples and they couldn't do it, his crushed his faith. The Lord comes down off the mountain and says, what's going on, boys? The daddy comes and says, I brought my boy to your disciples and they couldn't help me. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long am I going to have to put up with you? That's what he's asking. Bring the boy to me. They start bringing the boy. He falls down, wallowing and foaming. He looks at the daddy and says, how long has he been like this, sir? The daddy says, since an infant. He says, oh God, if you can do anything, if my faith is not strong, if you can help me, please love on us and help us. He looks at him and says, if you can only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. And the Bible says he cried. You know what that word cried means? It means he screamed. He cried aloud. See him there, kneeling down before the Lord and saying, if you can do anything, please. God says, if you can only believe. And he hears that and he screams, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. This is the parents' cry. I want to say something to you. I want to say something to you. In this we see a daddy burdened for his son, tortured and tormented by the devil. There's no telling what all this man had tried. He'd even come to the disciples of our Lord for their help, but they couldn't help him because they didn't believe. He had doubt in his heart, but still went to the Lord. Can I say something to you? You may be doubting, but keep going to Jesus. He had doubt in his heart, but he kept going. He went to the Lord. The Lord challenged his faith, to which the Father was very honest. You know what God likes, loves? Honesty. He got honest, and he wanted the Lord to know that there was still belief in him, but there was still unbelief there too. And he wanted God to help him. What a cry. Glory. My friends, this is the kind of cry that Jesus responds to. He knew the Lord could help him, but he had been let down so often that his faith was wavering. Yet he still had enough faith to look beyond the disciples and go to the feet of Jesus. Parents, in this service, let us be challenged on behalf of our children to kneel down before our God, begging His help for our lack of faith and for the protection of our children. Parents, learn to cry out to God even when your faith is weak. A parent's cry. Pitiful condition. A pressing charge. They can't do it. They're faithless and unbelieving. They have no power against the power of darkness. A parent's cry. Oh, Jesus, if you're any better, if you can do anything more, if you have it, would you give it? God says if you only believe. He comes down, and I trust that God speaking to hearts as a daddy. He cries out, oh God, I do believe. Please, please help my unbelief. Glory. What a cry, friends. That brings me to the fourth point. Man, I feel good this morning. God speaking to my heart. Number four, pitiful condition. Pressing charge, a parent's cry. Number four, I see a powerful Christ. We see this in verse number 17 back in Matthew. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 17. How long shall I suffer you? The last phrase. Bring him hither to me. Matthew just gives it in a very just summarize it. We're going to turn to Mark here in just a moment. Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil, departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Turn over to Mark with me, because Mark gives a more detailed account. Look at verse number 25. He's just dealt with this man. This man's just cried out, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Look at verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, rent him sore, and came out of him. He was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Matthew tells us the Lord told him to bring the child to him. The Lord rebuked the devil, and he departed out of the child. Child was cured from that very hour. Mark gives a little bit more detailed account of what happened. After the Lord tenderly dealt with the father's weak faith, he rebuked the spirit. He spoke to it, and he said, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more into him. The spirit cried out, tore him, and came out. The boy seemed as one dead, insomuch that many said he was dead. However, the Lord took him by the hand, lifted him up, he rose. The Bible says that the Lord gave him to his father. He was healed. Glory day. Glory day for this daddy. His boy, who from an infant was being tortured and tormented, the devil trying to kill him, has now been made whole. I ask you a question, what made it possible? What was the difference? Oh, how God's dealing with my heart. The difference was, it was the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ. His disciples couldn't cast him out, but he could. He's the God of all power. At his voice, the devils shake. And at his voice, the devils must submit. And when we rebuke the devil had no chance of staying in that boy. Friends, the Lord Jesus has power to help you in whatever situation you may be in. I don't care what it is. The power of Christ is the answer. The power of God is the answer. It makes no difference what you face. He is powerful enough to take care of it. Go to him. Pour out your heart to him for your needs. Jeremiah 32:17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. That's number four. That's really the story. Now the fifth point, it goes on and it's a point of application. The Lord applies this own story right here in our text. In our text, when they were come down, there was a pitiful condition, a boy who had the devil tearing him to pieces. There was a pressing charge. His disciples tried to do it, but they couldn't. They didn't have faith. They didn't believe. They had faith, but not in God. Maybe their own know-how or whatever. The father falls down and the parent cries out, if you can only do something, please. And Jesus said, if you can only believe, I can. He said, I believe. Please help my unbelief. We see a powerful Christ. And when he comes, he speaks to the evil spirit and says, I command you, I charge you. Come out of him and never enter him again. He rips the boy, tears him, comes out screaming. They think he's dead. He's now lying in peace. Insomuch that they think he's dead, the Lord reaches down, grabs him by the hand, picks him up, gives him to his daddy. That brings me to number five, and this is the application. I see a private conversation. There's a private conversation. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Notice verse number 19. When this is all said and done, in other words, everything's over. It's all said and done. Notice what happened, verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. Now the other texts tell us that it was in private. It was in a house. The Lord went into a house. And in private, they asked him. There's a private conversation taking place. You see what I'm saying? They said, why could not we cast him out? Lord, why couldn't we do this? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. See, the Lord didn't sugarcoat anything, did he? He said, you just didn't believe. But verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, small seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove, hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible for you. Now somebody says, I've tried that. I've looked at a mountain outside my window and said, move, and the next morning it was in the same place. Is he literally saying to pray to move a mountain? He's saying this, friends, it's typological language. He's saying if you pray and you believe, things that seem impossible can happen. That's what he's teaching. And he says, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Notice verse number 21, private conversation. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. See, he's taking care of all of this. They have watched him with his mighty power do something that they couldn't do. He goes into a house, they go with him, and in private, he has a conversation. And they say, Lord, why couldn't we do that? And in this private conversation, he begins to train them in an important area of their life. He says, because of your unbelief. That if they only had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, in him, in the right place, they could do impossible things. In other words, he was teaching them that seemingly impossible things can be accomplished by having faith in God. He proceeded to tell them that this faith only comes by prayer and fasting. Now in this, we see that these disciples had faith. I'm saying this again. We see this in the fact that they tried to cast the devil out. They tried because they said, why couldn't we? That tells us they tried to do it. But their faith was not in the Lord. Maybe they were confident in self or their former achievements. We don't know. See, he had already taught them about true discipleship in Matthew 16. That you must deny yourself. He had taught them about prayer. And in both of these cases, they were negligent. What a thought. The mighty disciples were guilty here of not praying. They didn't pray about it. And they did not fast. That means they didn't deny themselves something that they want. You understand? I'm not going to preach on fasting here. I can preach on it later if the Lord leads me to. But what I'm saying to you, he's teaching self-denial. Spurgeon put it this way, he that would overcome the devil in certain instances must first overcome heaven by prayer and conquer himself by self-denial. The true test of our spiritual walk is our prayer life. These disciples had neglected their communion with God to draw strength from him who's an all-powerful God. One person put it this way, what you are on your knees, you are and no more. He was teaching them that they had fallen into complacency. While he was up on the mountain being transfigured before three, the other nine were down in the valley trying to do it in their own strength. They had fallen in complacency. They had let their guard down. And the point was, they said, why couldn't we do it? He said, you've neglected your secret life. You have neglected your communion with God. Therefore, you could not do it. When this father came to him, they didn't have God's power to help him. Friends, don't let this happen to you. When this needy world comes to you for spiritual help, do you have the power of God to help them, or is it said they can't do it? The bottom line is, here it is. You listening? You've listened well. God bless you. The bottom line is this, we need God. That's the message. He's saying the reason you couldn't do it is because you tried to do it. You thought you could do it. You didn't pray about it. You didn't show me that you were self-denial. You are eaten up with the appetite of this life and you are not in the prayer closet. That's why you couldn't do it. You neglected me. That's what he's saying. We need God. I need his power. You need his power. I cannot do anything without the power of God. And my friends, he wants to help this world. And the way he does it is through his children. He wants his power, that's the only power that can help them to flow through me. And the way I get it, prayer and self-denial. I'm telling you, let us get on our face and beg God for His power. You've heard maybe the story about a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. I'm reading this story here, but he was a mighty preacher of God. He's the one who preached the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It's said that when this man stood, he was half blind. And he read his sermon right off the piece of paper, just like this. He just stood here and read it, word for word. But it's said that as he read that sermon, those people felt the presence of God in such a way that they grabbed the pews, they mounted the pews, they got up on the pews, if you will, because they feared the ground was going to open and hell was going to swallow them right there. Before Jonathan Edwards got into that pulpit, have y'all heard that story? Would you raise your hand? A lot of you heard that story. They would grab the pews because they didn't want to fall into hell. Here's something about it. Before Jonathan Edwards got into the pulpit, before he ever preached that message, according to his diaries, for 3 days before that message he fasted. And he prayed for 3 days. It said he didn't let a morsel of food go through his lips. In fact, he had 3 sleepless nights as without food, without sleep, without the normal resources of life. And he got on his face before God. He sought God and answered to his prayers. And the result was that men and women had the conviction of sin, the conviction of the Holy Spirit falling upon them. And they could see hell in their very mind's eye. Many were saved. But those who witnessed that scene spoke. And they brought out something about that scene. They said that when Jonathan Edwards mounted the pulpit, when he got up in the pulpit, it says he looked into the congregation. And as he looked into the congregation, the eyewitnesses say he looked as if he was a man who had stared for days in the very face of God. And he needed not even to speak a word, because as he looked at those people, he didn't speak a word at first. He just started looking at the people. And they say as he looked at those people with the look of God in his eyes, conviction started falling on that place. I am not saying that you need to take 3 days and 3 nights and don't eat a thing. That's between you and God. Some people medically cannot fast. But we can all pray. And we can all deny ourselves. I ask you a question. How serious are you about it? We have a great day coming up next week. Interesting that God laid this message right here on my heart, and we're studying through the book together. God is saying, I can help this world, and only I can do it. Do you recognize that? Do you need the power of God? I need it. I want it. Now I must prove that to God. May the Lord add His blessing. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You. Thank You for this day. Is God speaking to your heart? Have you been neglecting your prayer life? You know who we have under the sound of my voice? We have those who are disciples of Christ and those who are not. Those who are saved and those who are not. And I ask you a question. Number one, are you in the family of God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now's the accepted time. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. come and be saved today. Trust Christ and Christ alone. On the flip side of that, we have those who are saved and those who know the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How's your faith? Is your faith weak? Has your faith been battered? Has your faith been shaken? What's the answer? Go to the feet of Jesus, kneel before Him, and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Just be honest with Him. Be honest with Him. Or maybe you have a child that's being tormented. Maybe you have a child that you're concerned about. Maybe you're a parent that's lifting your children up before the Lord. God is speaking to you about, don't ever stop calling out for him. Don't ever stop calling out for her. Maybe God's dealing with parents is what I'm saying. Or today, maybe God is dealing with you as we were preaching about the disciples, that this daddy came to them, but they couldn't do it. Maybe God's speaking to you about how much you need him. That you can't do it in yourself. It's impossible for you to do. The power is not you. The power lives in you. It's Jesus Christ. I'm calling upon Sunday school teachers, bus workers, deacons. I'm calling upon staff members. I'm calling upon Sunday school class members. I'm calling upon everybody is what I'm trying to say. Whether you are in leadership in this church or whether you're just here, thank you for being here. I'm calling upon this church to recognize something. I need him. God, give us your strength. God, give us your power. We need you. Will you respond? Let's all stand together, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, take it and use it in a great way. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're lost and need Jesus, come. Lady with a lady, man with a man, we'll take a Bible, share with you the gospel. How about it, Sunday school teacher? How about it, deacon? How about it, bus worker? How about it, class member? How about it? How about it, parent? Why don't some of the parents go to their children? Go to your child, pray with them. Go to your child, pray with them. Grab your child, bring them to the altar. Whatever it is. The altars already have some on it, but maybe God's dealing with you. As Brother Mike sings, you come. Come talk to God. We need God's power. I need God's power. You need God's power. This church needs the power of God. God is the only one that can answer these things. God is the only one. We need the power of God. I need the power of God. God, help us. Maybe you're lost and need Jesus. Come. Whatever it may be. Trusting him, whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth his Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While he leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting him, whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. We're playing through softly. If you're standing, you can look this way. I'll be honest with you, this father is one of the men in the Bible that I identify most with in the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I find myself in life. Faith it's not very strong. Faith, doubt's trying to settle in my heart. You know the great thing about the Lord? Is the little faith you have, He fans it. He builds it, He increases it. He brings us to the end of ourselves. These last several weeks, the Lord's been really dealing in my heart with this very thought that I can't do it, that the Lord is the only one that can. But we have to ask ourselves, go in that house, as we're dealing with folks here, but go in that house with those disciples in private. They thought everything was fine. They thought everything was okay. They were just confused. I mean, Lord, we tried. Please tell us, why couldn't we do it? And He looks them in the face and says, because you don't pray enough. You don't pray enough. You don't really believe. Because your actions prove what your belief is in. That's what He said. Now I'm telling you, friends, here's my word. I know it. That's powerful. That's convicting. You know what we need at Buffalo Ridge? For God's children to say, I can't do it. But I know you can. And I'm going to keep begging you until you do. You got it? That's the message. That's it. If you're visiting with us today, let me remind you, please take your card out to the Welcome Center. Be back tonight, 6:30, right in your place. Deacons, 6 o'clock, if you'll be here, we'll take care of some things here. We'll ask our preacher to lift his voice and dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.